8 minutes, so I'm going to be quick. I'm going to rip straight into it. We've still got two other guys coming up, so going to be quick. I'm counting down. So this is the last Sunday in the My Church series. Oh, I know, but don't worry, because it's not the last Sunday in my church or your church or God's church. And this isn't just a series on getting a new building or getting money for a new building, because that's going to happen anyway. It's a series in a part of a journey that started when Ron and Heather moved to Wollongong to start this church. And so there's been some awesome stuff said in the last 2 weeks and this morning. So if you've missed it, get the podcast. And tonight I want to share real quick the part of the journey that I've seen and how I'm excited to put a stake in the ground and make a significant difference in our community with our own building. So I'm going to rip straight into it. I've been a part of this church for, I was trying to work it out today, almost 12 years or thereabouts. And I've seen people come into this church, be saved, have their lives transformed, bring others. They've joined our family, joined my church. And I've seen life groups grow and ministries form. And, you know, years ago, we didn't have a soup kitchen. We didn't have two youth programs. We didn't have, you know, Kids Rock pumping as well as it is. You know, so there's been so much stuff. And each one of those has been an investment. And that's my first point. I told you I was going to jump straight into it. Building the church is an investment. It's an investment, and it's an investment into people's lives. Yes, we take a pledge and we'll take up money. That's great. But that's not what the point of the investment is. You know, the money will come because God's provided us with a building and a site over Verica Street. So, you know, that's an investment, but God's providing that. Like a monetary investment, it takes time. Building a church is going to take time. It takes time to develop, grow, and mature, and we can see that. How long has the church been around? 18 years? So I missed the first six, or thereabouts. I missed that. Thanks, Pete. I'll ask Colin about it later. Yeah, so it takes time for an investment to reach its full potential, and we've got so much more to go before we reach ours. An investment will cost you something. An investment doesn't just happen out of nowhere. So when you're building a church, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you whatever you want it to cost you. But when it costs you, you have a sense of ownership and a sense of belonging and a sense of that's mine. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to stick up for it. And, you know, it's just going to be like the more you put in, the more God's going to give you to put in, and the bigger the investment will be. Like, Jesus' ministry, his whole ministry was about building the church, and that was an investment. He invested years into the life of the disciples, and he invested into other people as well. And he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom on heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Right? And that accounts for us today as well. God is giving us the keys to the kingdom, and so if we put into his investment, then he's going to build his church with us. Jesus' investment cost him, and it was the biggest cost anyone could ever give to the church to see it to grow. And we see that in the end of the gospel when Jesus gave up his life and died and then rose again so that we could have the opportunity to make an investment. And there's two options you can do. And I was reading the parable of talents as I was sitting at the lighthouse this afternoon watching the surf. And you can either be given things by God and you can invest them and then put them back into the church and get more. Or you can be given something and not invest, well, invest it into the ground and hide it. And, you know, I'm sure you've all read the parable of talents. If you haven't, go home and read it and read the end, because they're your two options of what you're going to do with the stuff that God's given you. Building a church is an investment and it's going to cost you. Number two, building a church releases other people. Back in the day when we were running youth over in the office back in Railway Street, you know, I was part of the youth team. It wasn't very big. We didn't have many young people. But we moved here and we now have a huge team. We run two programs on a Friday night, Explosion, which used to be called Youth Church. And that's going back far enough where I used to play bass. So that just shows you how much a new building releases people. And, you know, like we're running two programs on a Friday night. It releases people. In Acts, we see Paul, he gets released. You know, to begin with, he's persecuting the church. But then he has an encounter with God. And God releases him to build the church. But then he releases other people. He releases Timothy, Barnabas. You know, the list keeps going. How long have I got? 3 minutes. You know, so building the church releases people. When we moved here, we've now got a soup kitchen. How many kids programs do you have? 10 kids programs, whatever. Hey, if he wants to declare 10, then you know, go for it, because point number three, building a church builds faith. So right there, good luck, Adrian. Adrian needs kids leaders after the service for the 10 programs starting this week. When you step out in faith and you know, you step off the edge and trust in God, you might have, you know, this much faith, but if you step out and God moves, then your faith is going to increase. If you read Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 31, I'm not going to read it all, but it literally just goes through, you know, it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham. It just goes through listing all these people who were already incredible people of faith, but they got told something by God, they got given something, they invested it, they took a step, and oh man, I'd love to have been there with all those people just to see how much their faith grew. You know, like, just take, you know, God will give you something and take the step. Because as soon as you take it, he's going to give you a bigger step. And, you know, each time you step off the edge, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we've stepped out in faith at youth and we've basically started the programs again. Yeah, awesome. Except when you get no one. It's a bit disheartening. But we've taken the step and we're now waiting on God to move. And then when he moves, we're going to have to take another step. Because both these programs have the chance to just go bang and explode and see young people saved. And when they happen, we're going to need to be ready to take that next step. We're going to need to be ready to step off that next edge. And I believe that'll happen, you know, hopefully in a few weeks' time. Come on, God. But that'll happen. And when we get out, you know, a new building of our own, you know, and we take another step in that, that's going to build faith. But then we're going to have space. And, oh, man, I can't wait for a new building, because then we don't need to get in trouble for ruining the carpet and the stage and whatever else with young people. And so real quick, before I tag the other guys in, number one, building the church is an investment. It will cost you and it will take time. Two, building the church releases other people. It releases you to release other people as well. And number three, building the church builds faith. Get excited. Be praying about what God wants you to do for the new building. And Josh Whalen, come on up. Give him a round of applause.
Hey, how's it going? Before I start, it's really bugging me. Can I have like two or three people to move into that row, the second row? It's like the only one. Yeah, awesome. How much? I think it's so important to have, you know, when someone walks into the church and they see like the first three rows like packed, it's like a really good impression. Just so important. Yeah, how good have the last few weeks been? Hey, I mean, I've loved this shoot series. I'm just going to get right in it. I don't know how long this is going to go for, but you know, we'll hopefully it'll be pretty good. We'll find out. Thank you. I'll just rip through it, hey? The church is the body of the Christ, of Christ, and you know, there's an analogy all throughout the Bible, and specifically in Song of Solomon's, as the church is the bride of Christ. And I finished reading Song of Solomon's a couple of weeks ago, and it was really funny because, you know, I think Heather was going through before service, and it's like, what has God been speaking to you about? And I'm like, please don't ask me, because that's going that's a bit of an awkward one. So thankfully she didn't. I did share that at Life Group, and the boys had a laugh. So, anyway, I just want to show you how much God thinks of His church, and how much, like, what Jesus thinks of His church. So, this isn't from Song of Solomon, by the way. This is from Luke. This is Jesus. So it's a bit safe. It's a bit more safe. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." Jesus said, "But why did you search? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they didn't understand what he meant. And, you know, that was Jesus when he was 12. And you know, that's just such an amazing that he had that concept and his parents didn't. You know, David said, "A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked." You know, this is a really exciting time for our church. really exciting 12 to 18 months. But you know, I want to make sure that we don't have this mindset, you know, like get a building. Like, that's the pinnacle of achievement for our church, you know, over the last 18 months. You know, I think the mindset that we should have is that this, you know, once we do move in, that's, you know, just the beginning of what God wants to do in our church and in the community. So why get involved in building a new facility? I've just got 30 quick points, and I'm just just kidding, I've got three. So the first one is, this is my church. So, you know, I don't know, the cards aren't out, but the card says, up the back, it says my church. And I want us to get that sense of ownership over the church. You know, I wrote in my notes, you know, even talk about that, you know, say, oh, you know, the church that I attend on the weekend, it's my church or our church. And so just get that into you. You know, I love our church. I love the people. I love the culture. I love the church values. I love the senior leadership. I love our focus on reaching the lost. I love the fact that this is my church. Yeah. I'm going to stick that bit. I was just saying, there's lots of other churches about doing awesome stuff. You know, at Hillsong Conference last week, a couple of weeks ago, and just hearing all the amazing stuff that God's doing. But I just love what we can do in our community. You know, we're City Life Church in Wollongong. So take ownership of that. A new facility releases new ministry, and that Josh touched on this. You know, if we looked over the last, you know, we moved from the school to the community center, from the community center to here, and you know, what have we achieved in that time? I guess this Jardine Street property has allowed us to, you know, permanently set up offices to allow for the day-to-day administration of the church. You know how long I have to set up the sound and music equipment? Praise God. It has released kids and youth ministries, which Josh touched on. You know, women's services on Wednesdays. I don't think we did that until we got to this building. The whole community initiatives, like idea and organization, which includes like the Open Coffee. We do ADD support groups, you know, the soup kitchen. And it has enabled a whole new generation of leaders to rise and move into the calling and purpose that God has for their lives. And I was just thinking, you know, even some people have decided to get married in this facility. And I'm sure that won't stop. So I'm gonna get married in the new facility because it's gonna be so much better. you know, and we've done all this in this, you know, sketchy warehouse that, you know, we've done it to look pretty good, but in the essence, it's a warehouse. You know, the sign phase is into a cul-de-sac. We're in a cul-de-sac. You know, who's heard of Jardine Street? You know, and we've done all that here. So imagine what we could do with a new building that's, you know, custom built for us. how long have I got? 2 minutes, I'm doing well. I reckon I could have stretched this out to like 30 minutes. I believe a church should be a place where people can come and find healing, acceptance, be transformed, and above all, encounter God. So I think anything else we should do is secondary to this. That's just what it should be. In Matthew 21, starting from verse 12, this is an idea of the priests who they missed that concept. It said, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But the leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God, the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. And so that means like they were, you know, they got angry really because of what Jesus was doing. He was using the church, which was, you know, the temple back then, for its purpose, and they got really angry at that. So just want us to remember that that's what, you know, our building, our facility is all about. It's that we can do that. And last point is that I think being able to purchase our own facility is saying we are here to stay. So I believe there's a huge thing in claiming the physical, like physical ground, for a building. And as we do that, we're actually claiming the spiritual ground. And you know, we say building a building is not about bricks and mortar, but you know, I was thinking in a sense it is, because bricks and mortar can't be moved very easily. And so once you build this place, it's, you know, it's putting a stake in the ground and saying, you know, you just say to the devil, get in his face, and saying we're here to stay. No matter what you do, like, we're not moving. We're here to invest in this community. And so the building project represents what the generation above us has done and is doing for us. And the exciting thing is that we get to be a part of it now, and probably in 10 to 15 times we get to do it again. So that's a really exciting thing. So to summarize, take ownership of the church and the project. Get excited about the ministry that will be released because of this building. And let's get in the devil's face and say, no matter what you may do, we're here to stay. So, yeah.
I like you. He's a cool guy, isn't he? Awesome. Now, the bottom line is that the church is here to reach people. That's what we're here for, and that's what the guys have said. And we're here to reach people. God has put us here in Fairy Meadow, around Corrimal and North Wollongong and East Corrimal and the outskirting areas. We're here to reach people. We're here to build the church, and that's what I'm here for. And I believe God is going to grow us and expand us, and we're going to take this city for Jesus. In His name, do you believe it? Amen. That is what we are here for. And I'm excited about that. And I don't know about you, but I've heard some people say, I like to be in a small church. I like to just be able to know everybody and know what's going on and know who's having babies and know who's getting married and know who's painted their house what color and what car they drive and whatever else it is. And I think, man, that is the most selfish thing in the world. You're putting your selfish desires in front of thousands and thousands of souls in this community just because you want to be comfortable and just because you want to know everybody in your little church. But I want to come into church and go, well, who the heck are you? I didn't see you last week. And who are you? What's your name? I don't know these people. Where am I? That's the type of church I want to be in. I want to be somewhere there's just new faces every week. I want to be somewhere where I don't know half the people, 90% of the people. I want to be in a place that's growing. Come on, do you believe it? I want to be somewhere that's just full of life and full of new faces, new people that are experiencing the love of Jesus through awesome and powerful worship and great teaching and just the love of people in life groups and everything like that. I don't want to be in a small church. I know all you guys. I want to know some more people. I know what you're like. I know Pat and Heidi are going to have another child. We all know that. I love church, and I'm a bit of a church junkie, and I just love everything about it and everything that it does, and I don't want to be a part of a small church. And I've had the opportunity to draw the new church, like a concept drawing of this new church, and that's really exciting because when I was thinking about it, and like as I'm just putting the chairs in my little program, I'm like, man, a mother's going to sit in this church, and she doesn't know Jesus, and at the end of the night, she's going to know Jesus, and her life's just going to be completely transformed. And like in this chair here, there's going to be a young person. And God is going to speak so powerfully into their lives. And they're going to have a dream in their heart and say, you know what, I don't care what's happening in my family. But I'm going to just give my life to Jesus. And I love just being able to draw this new building because it means it's bigger than where we are now. And so my first thought was, you know, a bigger building means more people. And that's pretty cool. A bigger building allows growth. And I want to be in a growing church, and we are in a growing church, and it's just going to grow more and more, and I love that. And, you know, my job is to draw buildings for people, and I work as an architect or a draftsman or what you call me, Ron. Ron's he does speeches every week. Yeah. And anyway, I draw buildings for people who are wanting to grow. Businesses, they come in and say, look, we're expanding, we need to grow, we need more offices. And I don't have many people coming in saying, you know what, we're a small business and we're going to stay small. But I want this 10-room office with all this space and, you know, 10 car parks, but, you know, we're just a few people. Like, they don't come in and say that. They're like, look, our business is going crazy. We need some more space. We have to move out. And when I get families coming, I'm doing a house at the moment for a couple. And I think they have two kids. But they want this huge house. And I don't know if this will make sense to you, but it's just under 500 square meters of house. That's a big house, trust me. And they want 5 bedrooms, but they've only got 2 kids. And so they want to grow. They want to have children and fill those rooms. And, you know, I'm drawing up this bigger building, this bigger church, not because just so that we can get better at putting chairs out on a Sunday morning and just get really good at that, or so that life groups have more things to clean on the weekend, but so that we can fill those chairs. And I don't know about you, but I've got faith to fill. I've got faith to fill these chairs and to see people come in and see their lives transformed. The other thought I had about my heart in this church is, what is it? I've just lost it on the spot. How's that? Growing, building. This is our, yeah, that's it. I believe we're going to be that church in the community. We're going to be that church that people know about. I'm sick of being telling people we're that church that's at the end of a cul-de-sac that's on the same road as the Anglican church that faces the Prince's Highway. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of saying that. I'm ready to start saying, hey, I'm that church out on the Prince's Highway that faces every time you drive past. And I'm that church that has the skate ramp on the front of the building. That's the one I designed, and I'm a part of that church that serves the best coffee in town. You know that church? Yeah, that's us. I'm a part of that church that we have those worship albums that are just being produced year in and year out and having a global impact. Come on. I'm a part of this church, and then people are like, I know that church. My friend, she went there and she got saved, and I know that church because my friend had cancer, and they went there and they got planted there, and she got healed, and that's crazy. That's the church I'm talking about. And I believe God's taking us to a spot in this season of City Life Church where we're going to be that church, where people are going to know we are that church. And I don't know about you, but that really excites me. I was reading a quote on architecture that it says it's by Robert Venturi. I have no idea who he is. I didn't look him up. I'm guessing he's an architect. He said, a decorated building is a conventional form of architecture that conveys its meaning, you following all this? That conveys its meaning through either signage or architectural ornament, all right? So what that means is that I could draw up a box and we just put up a sign out the front that tells people what it is. Or I could design a building that conveys its meaning through the architecture of it. And I really believe that we're going to be a church where we don't need to put up a sign out the front that says, hey, people get saved here, people get healed here, families get restored here, people get released here. But people are going to be in the community doing that. People in our church are going to be out there preaching that, reaching people, touching people's lives. And people are going to be, oh, that's that church that's doing all that. And that's the type of church I want to be a part of. We don't need to put a sign out the front and just write down what happened so that people know. But they're going to know that church because of people like us, you and me, out there doing what God has called us to do in Ferry Meadow, in North Wollongong, wherever it is you live, Bulambi, East Corrimal, Corrimal, that we're going to be out there and part of that church. And people are going to go, hey, that's that church that you're a part of that's doing all that awesome stuff. In Jesus' awesome name, 45 seconds to go, and he's going to come up and close this awesome meeting.
Wow. So good. Oh, I think we should just do a tag team every week. That was awesome. I don't really know how to sum up. The next couple of weeks, we'll have pledge cards so you can financially be involved with this whole process. And so grab that, pray about that. But I love those guys and their heart and feel so blessed just to be part of a church that has people like that. I honestly mean that. And I just feel blessed and totally, like, I was sitting there this morning and just Dad was preaching up a storm and I was literally thinking, wow, I don't deserve to be his son. And maybe sounds funny, but you know, we don't deserve the things that God has given us, but he has given it to us. And I just really encourage you not to look at like coming to church or and just attending a service, but think like, this is my church and I don't deserve to be part of what God is doing, but God chooses to use me. God chooses to put me in this place and to use me for his kingdom and for his glory and to do something incredible for his name. And he chooses me to reach my friend. He chooses me to see somebody's life change, somebody healed. And he chooses me. He chooses you. And I didn't deserve it, but he chose me. You know, I didn't deserve it, but Jesus died for me. I didn't do anything to earn it, but Jesus, like he paid. He put in the biggest investment in my life that anybody ever has when he died on the cross. And he did the exact same thing for you. And right now, just as we finish,
I want to pray with you about that. If you don't know Jesus and you want to start a relationship with Him, you know, being in church is not about just building a building, but it is coming together as a group of people united by the fact that we are saved by Jesus Christ. And we want to see every person on the planet saved by Jesus Christ and part of that family. You know, I don't want to be in a small family. I want a big family of people in Jesus Christ. So if you're here tonight and you do not know God, and you don't have a relationship with Him, or you did and you were once kind of close to God, but you just feel like stuff in your life has led you off, or you just feel distracted, or you feel like you're just not kind of with God, connected to God, then I want to pray with you tonight. And so if that's you, everyone just bow your head and close your eyes, and we're just gonna pray together. I'm not even going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm just going to ask you to pray with me, because like God, He loves you. He wants relationship with you. Jesus loved you so much that he walked up and He voluntarily put Himself on that cross and died for everything that you have done, so that even though you didn't deserve it, you could have a relationship with God and you could have eternity in heaven and you could be part of a family that goes beyond any natural family, a family that goes beyond anything that you can think of, but is eternal. And so we're just going to pray together right now, and if God's stirring your heart, then pray with me, and everyone's going to pray out loud, but pray this prayer. It's going to come up on the screen. It's real simple, but pray it and mean it, and if you do, then talk to someone about it, amen. So let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Awesome. Man, explosion is good. Yeah. You should come again and bring someone with you. Thanks, guys.